Hi, and welcome to DC Public Safety. I'm your host, Len Sipes. At our microphone today is Tracy Pohl. Tracy is the Chief of Information and Public Relations for the Rhode Island Department of Corrections. One of the things that Tracy did, she brought a program to our attention called Zero Fatalities Project, a very successful program there in Rhode Island. This is the first time we are doing a Skype-related interview. For those of you who are not familiar with Skype, it is a digital interview between myself and Tracy, and this is the first time we're trying it. And I just want to tell everybody that DC Public Safety is way over a million requests now for the program since its inception in January of 2007. Government Computer News just gave us the ranking at one of the 10 best websites in state and local government. So please get in touch with us. We respond to all of your comments. We respond to all of your suggestions at media.csosa.gov or simply search DC Public Safety. So Tracy, now you and I have a lot in common. I was a director of public information for the Maryland Department of Public Safety and Correctional Services, which was both corrections and police. How long have you been chief of information and public relations for the Rhode Island Department of Corrections?
I've been in this position for 2 years and in public relations for over 20.
Okay. Did you do public relations for criminal justice or emergency agencies before you came to Rhode Island, or before you came to the Department of Corrections?
No, actually, I didn't. Most of my career was spent in higher education.
Okay. Now, is it crazy? The 14 years I spent in Maryland, I found to be extraordinarily taxing, extraordinarily exciting, being on call 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Wow, that's an eye-opener.
Yes, it is. It's absolutely never boring. I always tell people I never know what the day will bring, and I love it. It's fascinating work.
It is fascinating work, but it does get a bit tiring. I can remember sitting and having dinner about 300 miles away in a lakeside restaurant with my wife, and we're sitting there having this lovely candlelit dinner, and the phone goes off, and even though I'm on vacation, they're demanding that I take this particular media call, and my wife wanted to tell the Secretary of Public Safety I can't say in public what she said for me to do. But I said, dear, I'm stuck with this. I'm just the one who has to respond to this question. So I would imagine you're basically in the same boat.
Yes. Yep. That was made clear to me during the interview process that it is, you're on call 24/7. And, you know, I do get calls in the evening sometimes or on the weekends, but I have a great boss and I work with a lot of wonderful people, and I think it's worth the trade-off.
I don't know about you. I've been in the criminal justice system for an awfully long time, close to 40 years. You've been in the criminal justice system for two. I'm very impressed with the caliber of people in the criminal justice system, and I would imagine you are too. Most people are surprised as to how good and how dedicated and how smart and how educated the people in corrections really are.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. We've had a lot of people retiring the last couple of weeks. We have some changes going on in state government here in Rhode Island, so I've been attending a lot of farewell parties and listening to tributes to people, and it really brings it home how dedicated and fantastic so many of the staff are who've been here and have seen changes over the years and really been through a lot.
Okay. Tracy, one of the things that we're here today is to talk about the Zero Fatalities Project. Now, from what I understand, you are presenting this to students and various groups, and they go inside of a prison. They go before inmates. These are people who have been convicted of driving while intoxicated charges. Sometimes the individuals who go inside of the prisons get to hear from parents of victims. So one of the things that I remember, because I started off my time in the Maryland State Police, my career in the criminal justice system, was the outrageousness of the drinking while intoxicated accidents. People without arms, people without legs. I've seen an entire family virtually wiped out by a drunk driver. So this is something that is of immense importance to every person in this country and probably every person in the world where there are cars. And so you think that you have a program that has an impact.
Yes, we hope so. We launched it last spring during prom and graduation season, and just want to let you know that while it is a project of the Department of Corrections, we do have quite a few partners who are helping and supporting us in this effort, and those include the Rhode Island Attorney General's Office, MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving of Rhode Island, the Rhode Island Family Court, the Police Chiefs Association, the Rhode Island State Police, and the Rhode Island Department of Transportation. So it is a joint initiative.
One of the things that really amazes me is that you did a survey, and 49% of the people who you surveyed who participated in this said that they were a passenger in a vehicle driven by a drunk driver. Now, I find that to be astounding.
Mm-hmm. Yep, by someone who had been drinking. Yeah, we didn't get specific about how much, but any amount is probably too much. And we had 1,600 people come through the program just during the month of May, basically, last year, which was when we launched it.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, quite a few. I think 26 different groups.
Now, was that involved with prom season?
Yes.
It was May?
Right. We targeted prom and graduation season because we know that's a time when there's a lot of vulnerability to this. You know, a lot of kids are going out, unfortunately, partying, and there tends to be more accidents at that time.
Yeah, I told both of my daughters I was putting GPS devices on their cars. And I wasn't joking, although I really was, but they didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Now, the inmates who get involved in this, now they're serving time in a Rhode Island correctional facility for DWI, drinking under while intoxicated.
Yes, and okay. It just happens that all of the panelists we currently have are doing DUI death resulting sentences. The majority about 10 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now are these chronic DWI drivers or these first timers, or is the primary variable here the fact that they were involved in an automobile accident where somebody died?
Yeah, that's the primary variable. They get up and they speak about their experience, what led up to the crash, what type of behaviors they were engaged in, and there's quite a range. We have male and female panelists, which is kind of a first in our system. We don't normally bring together male and female offenders
right.
for a program, so
right.
that was kind of a hard sell in the beginning with
sure.
you know, the staff here, but I think everybody realizes that helps make it a panel that everyone in the audience can relate to. There's somebody on that panel everybody in the audience can connect with. We have a woman who was a young mother at the time of her crash. We have a woman who was a senior in high school at the time of her crash. A male offender who was climbing the corporate ladder and had a successful career and was engaged to be married, was a college graduate, and then a couple of male offenders who were younger, high school age, and one just out of high school at the time of their crashes. So it's quite a diverse panel.
Bringing the victims in, the parents of the victims, I would imagine, so what we're implying here is that in terms of parents of the victims, that they were younger people when they died?
Yes, we have the father of a young man who was killed last November of 2007, by a drunk driver, and he speaks very movingly and eloquently about the experience. I mean, we were all kind of blown away by his willingness to get up and talk so soon after his son's death, but he finds it therapeutic, I think, and also just has a very strong passion about wanting to spread the message wherever he can to try to prevent this from happening to other families. And the other parent who has participated has a daughter who is still alive, but basically completely disabled as the result of a DUI crash. And she was 13, I believe, at the time of the crash, and she's about 18 now.
I have done death notifications, knocking on the door, grabbing a priest or a minister, and generally speaking, and now this was quite some time ago, I think they were virtually all driving while intoxicated related offenses, where you go from the scene and the medical office comes along and picks up the body, and then your next step is to knock on the door and tell a wife, her husband is now dead, to tell parents that their child is now dead, and you don't forget that. In all of this, Tracy, do you get a sense that it makes an impact because we have this society that, you know, almost celebrates the concept of alcohol regarding, major life events? And I don't want to sound like a hypocrite. I've had more than a couple drinks myself throughout my years. But the concept of driving while getting behind that steering wheel is something that leads oftentimes to horrific results. And I'm not quite sure the students, before they come to your program, fully understand the unbelievable tragedy that this inflicts upon not just families, but entire communities before they get there. Is there an impact? Does the program have an impact on them?
There isn't a whole lot of scientific evidence to it, although we did survey everyone who came through, and we had a pretty good response rate, about 34%. So our planning and research unit analyzed those surveys, and according to the surveys, about 46% said that they would change their behavior as a result of attending, and I think 59% said they would share what they learned with friends and family. I think just from having sat in the room for every one of the presentations, that the impact is something you can't necessarily capture in a survey. And I've had parents call me and teachers speak to me and say how powerful it was and how much the kids were impacted. And I'm not sure that it's necessarily reflected in a survey, but I mean, we're not naive enough to think that we're going to stop teens from drinking, although that would be great. But what we're trying to do is get them to make better choices and to take this seriously and realize they're not invincible.
Well, Tracy, I'm asking the question because there's a variety of research that in terms of scared straight type of programs for criminal populations where individuals who are in trouble with the law, it doesn't seem to have that much of an impact on them. This, however, I would imagine would have an impact. It's just that I guess I'm editorializing just a tad, and that is to say that so many people seem to take this concept of drinking and driving in a fairly cavalier way. The younger individuals seem to be more prone to it than the older individuals. I have no idea if that's true or not. That's just my inference. But sometimes I get frustrated with larger society and the mixed messages we give about the consumption of alcohol and what it does to your ability to make good decisions. Now, that transcends drinking and driving. That could be young girls who are the victims of sexual assault but drinking is part of that. That's a tremendous tragedy of individuals getting in fights or engaging in other criminal behavior while under the influence of alcohol. In fact, alcohol is one of the biggest correlates that you will find in terms of violent crime, especially interpersonal violent crime. So I sometimes wonder whether the mixed messages that we give in society that this sort of a program really can cut through the clutter and remind people that alcohol has some real consequences, regardless of whether you're 16 or 56.
Yep, that's right. I mean, we certainly hope that this is going to make a difference, and it's only been, you know, that one targeted month of May that we really did it intensely, and now we're gearing up for another school year, so the reservations are starting to come in, word of mouth, and we did a brochure and a mailing. And so I'm starting to get bookings now for this year, and hopefully we'll reach a lot more schools across the state. And we'd like to get parent groups involved, because I think one of the keys is not just having the kids come and hear the message, but having their parents hear it and having dialogue between the parents and the kids.
They say that that dialogue is the biggest factor in terms of all the research that I've ever looked at, is the biggest factor in terms of keeping kids off of drugs, kids away from alcohol, is that conversation that parents have with their kids and setting no-nonsense goals with their kids and expectations for their kids. Do you think that's correct?
Yes, I do, definitely. I have... If you want to bear with me for a minute while I look at the brochure, I have a couple of quotes here from some of the panelists that, kind of convey how powerful this is.
But well, while you're looking, I'm going to reintroduce you, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we're listening to DEC Public Safety, our first Skype interview or a digital interview with somebody beyond the studio that we have here in Washington, D.C. We're talking to Tracy Poole, and Tracy is the Chief of Information and Public Relations for the Rhode Island Department of Correction. She's talking about the Zero Fatalities Project. Tracy, do you have your quotes?
Yep, I do. One of our offenders I mentioned earlier, who was older at the time of his crash, in his 30s actually, and climbing the corporate ladder, says, "No words can capture the pain that was in that courtroom, but you could feel it. This is a burden none of you ever wants to carry around for the rest of your life." Then we have a woman who had two young children at the time of her crash. She's here for 10 years and says, "A 10-year sentence is nothing compared with the pain of knowing I took a mother's only child. Her crash resulted in the death of a 17-year-old. Then we have a father of a young man who was killed by a drunk driver, who speaks and says, "Close your eyes. Envision the person you love more than anyone else in the world standing up here in my shoes talking about your death. This is as real as it gets." Then we have another young woman who was a senior. I think she was going to the beach with friends at, around the time of graduation, and had way too much to drink, and was in a crash that resulted in the death of two elderly women. She says, "Prison is like another world, especially for someone young who's never been in trouble before. All it takes is one bad choice."
You know, I had friends, and I have to put this gently, friends of mine who, these individuals were truly, truly, truly community-oriented individuals. They gave an awful lot of very active time to sports teams in the area, and they were just fun to be with and friendly, and known to be staunch supporters of community-related activities, yet they allowed their underage son, when he went to a resort, to have alcohol in the car. And mm-hmm. And I said to my wife, I said, as nice and as community-oriented as these individuals are, they are just wonderful people. I think what they did was just making a huge mistake, and they're never going to live it down if he gets involved in an alcohol-related crash where he kills somebody else or kills himself. Mm-hmm. But I guess I'm going back to that sense of people being cavalier. You've read three quotes. Those three quotes were profound. They were very moving to me, but yet I go back to that sense that society is somewhat cavalier about drinking and driving.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, there are messages everywhere that are hitting the kids, you know, in the media and all over the place, and it's definitely going to be a difficult thing to combat, and I think that there are all kinds of efforts out there, and this is just one of them. What we hope is that the actual experience of coming into the prison is something that's going to stay with the kids. You know, they're not necessarily used to thinking of it from the perspective of the offender. I think that a lot of the messages they're getting are more from the victim's perspective, and that's equally important, but a lot of times I think kids don't realize, if I get behind the wheel after a couple of drinks, I might end up not only killing somebody, but ruining my own life, ruining my family's lives. The results are just devastating. So when they see somebody up there in, you know, their inmate clothing, who kind of looks like them and who talks about having been very much like them when they were in high school, it does hit home.
Well, to me, there are profound decisions that individuals make, and they don't realize they're profound decisions. And one of the most profound is having, as far as I'm concerned, one drink and getting involved in a vehicle or driving a vehicle. I've seen people who are not even close to the legal limit affected by one mm-hmm. beer, one glass of wine, and they are now dangerous to themselves and dangerous to others. So other people would say, "Leonard, you're going way overboard. You're being way too strict." And I've seen it firsthand how people with one glass of wine, one beer, go out and get involved in terrible accidents. So in any event, Tracy, what did I miss about your program? It's fascinating, the Zero Fatalities Project. You're getting a lot of publicity in there in Rhode Island, and more people are coming to the program, I understand.
Yep. Well, one of the reasons that we we decided to do this in the first place is that there's a community in Rhode Island called Barrington, Rhode Island. It's a fairly affluent community that had been getting a lot of attention in the press because there were a series of DUI-related crashes there, and it seemed that all of a sudden the media kind of glommed onto Barrington, and it became this Barrington issue.
Oh, I remember that.
When, in fact, it's really not just Barrington, and if you look at the statistics, and the Attorney General's office is a little bit more up on those than I am, but there have been crashes in every community pretty much in the state, so it's not just Barrington, but I think the fact that there were quite a few in close proximity and just the idea that it's this affluent community just brought the focus on to Barrington. And we had a request for one of our offenders who is now on the Zero Fatalities Project panel to go and speak at Barrington High School. The director actually granted him a furlough, and he did. He's a minimum security inmate, so he was allowed to go and speak, and that had a tremendous impact, I guess, on the students in Barrington. But the director did not want to focus on one particular offender and make a celebrity out of anyone, and
of
so that's when I started thinking, you know, let's do something where instead of taking offenders out, which is difficult on many levels, we'll actually invite students here. We have a program here that's been in place for many years called the SCORE program that's sort of similar to that Scared Straight idea, but not quite that along those lines. But it's a similar format to this where we have a panel of inmates and students come in and hear them, but they're serving for a whole variety of offenses, and they talk about gang behavior, better decision-making, that's the common thread, bullying, you know, drugs, all kinds of different things. And so we had sort of the model in place, and high schools from across the state have been coming to that for years, and some middle schools. So we kind of modeled this Zero Fatalities Project along the SCORE program, but targeted it specifically to DUI offenses, and it seems to be very well received. I have had lots of response from task forces around the state, prevention task force, you know, substance abuse coordinators. As I mentioned, we have all these partners, so the word is getting out through them. The family court has sent kids to us for it. Our partners in law enforcement are getting the word out. So, it seems like there was a niche that we could fill, and hopefully it's going to have an impact.
Tracy, is there a place where people can get in touch with you for additional information?
Yes, they can call me at 401-462-2609.
Okay.
Or also email me at Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y dot Poole, P-O-O-L-E, at doc.ri.gov. And we also have some information on the program on our website, which is www.doc.ri.gov. And if you click on the left-hand link for media and community relations, there will be a link to a PDF version of the brochure on the program, which includes a registration form and all kinds of information.
All right, Tracy, ladies and gentlemen, Tracy Poole, and she is with she's Chief of Information and Public Relations for the Rhode Island Department of Corrections, talking about the Zero Fatalities Project. Ladies and gentlemen, this is DC Public Safety, and I'm your host, Len Sipes. Again, we respond to every email, every comment that you get to us at media.csosa.gov, or simply search for DC Public Safety. We enjoy your comments, and we respond to each and every suggestion that you have for the program. And Tracy Poole, again, 401-462-2609, 401-462-2609, and or Tracy, P-O-O-L-E, at doc.ri.gov. Have yourselves a very, very pleasant day.